Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. So when I was thinking about my talk last night, you know, let's be serious, I was thinking about it at 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about my presentation. And I was thinking about the fact that we're 4 days in to an amazing conference and time together. I've had 4 days plus leading up to this to get excited about this moment. And then I've had 4 days to be able to meet so many incredible communicators that just made me even more excited to be able to share what we've been doing at Wexner Medical Center with all my very new good friends. So let me tell you a little bit more about myself. So again, my name's Lori Stewart. I've been with the Wexner Medical Center for 28 years. I actually told somebody last night it was 28 and a half, and it made me feel like a little kid when you always wanted to be older. So 28 years, 27 of those years have been in communications and marketing. I actually started with I did all our internal and external events. Then I shifted over to marketing, and then I've spent most of my time on the internal communications team. And then here most recently, for like the past 2 years, I've been a part of our digital marketing and analytics team, where I have the pleasure of focusing on this platform and how we can optimize it for all of our faculty and staff. So I love it. I love my job. I love the medical center. I love the people I work with. Every day is a blessing. So let me tell you a little bit about the medical center. So we are Central Ohio's only academic health center. Our mission is to improve people's lives through patient care, teaching, and research. We have 7 hospitals, more than 100 locations. And you'll see here that the U.S. News and World Report has ranked us the number one hospital in Columbus. They've also ranked us in 9 of our specialties. We have over 2.11 million ambulatory visits a year. And we have more than 60,000 inpatient admissions per year. So we wouldn't be able to care for all of these patients and get all of this recognition if it wasn't for our amazing faculty and staff. So you'll see here we have just over 24,000 staff on hand, nearly 2,000 faculty, 900 plus fellows and residents, and we also have 4,000 College of Medicine students that we need to target with our messaging. So how do we do that? Well, before COVID, we had a homegrown email system that we used, and we had our intranet site. We did communication surveys. We wanted to get feedback from faculty and staff. How are we doing? And they told us we needed to do better, that our tools were horse and buggy. So they said they wanted to have a modern look and feel to our communications. They wanted it to be timely. They wanted it to be relevant. And they wanted it to be on a mobile app. So we were thrilled when our senior leadership agreed in that case and enabled us to be able to move forward with finding a partner. So December 31st, 2019, 4:59 p.m., we signed our contract with First Up. Nothing like waiting till the last minute. Yeah. So we signed our contract, and we had been given a deadline of going live by March 31st of 2020. Look, I jumped right into this. Here we are. So we had to go live March 31st. Well, we all know what happened then, COVID. So our entire team shifted gears to focus on COVID communications. And I was asked to stay on task to be able to launch HealthBeat Hub, our program, which was fine. We were able to do that. But the message was, if we do not go live, it's not going to be because we weren't ready. So we were ready, and there were absolutely conversations around not going live. But we really valued the technology that was going to be made available to us with the push notifications that we were able to send out to mobile devices to targeted audiences. So we made the decision to still go live with the mobile app. I'm very glad we did. An example of how we used that during COVID was, I mean, for all of you, you probably had all of the visitation policies changing. So when our ambulatory sites decided that visitors were no longer going to be able to accompany patients, and then we weren't going to have visitors in the buildings. So we had communicated that at large to the whole audience, but on the day that policy went into effect, we sent a push notification to just the faculty and staff in our ambulatory sites. Reminder, visitation policy changes today. So there were lots of instances like that where we needed to be able to communicate to a targeted group during COVID. So after we launched the mobile app, we then launched the desktop experience in June. So just a couple months later, but because we quickly found that we were trying to manage content on our intranet site, on the mobile app, And then also we were putting some content on an external site so our health science colleagues could have access as well. So we did go live with the desktop experience. So when we did that, individuals who had their own personal device or desktop, like myself, I've got my laptop, when I open up my computer and open up the internet, it defaults to HealthBeat Hub. So I'm signed, we have single sign-on, my computer signs me in, I go to the internet, it immediately signs me into Hub. For our clinicians who are in nurses' stations and they have shared workstations, we didn't want to totally disrupt their workflow by doing that to them. So they still defaulted to our previous intranet site, and we put a micro app on the site so that they're getting the news and information that they still needed, but not having to click into the HealthBeat Hub platform to be able to access that. So then later that year, we went live with emails and newsletters. Part of the reason we had to delay that is because our team had been focused on COVID comms, and I needed to train them again in how to be able to use the platform. So we had to kind of stagger our launch with the various endpoints of the tool. So we also quickly found out that faculty and staff, they would open up HealthBeat Hub, they'd see a little bit, and then they were using a quick link button and immediately going into our intranet. Well, our intranet has a landing page for each audience. So we'd only put the micro app on the landing page for the shared workstations. So we decided we needed to put that micro app also on the other audience-specific landing pages. So physicians, educators, leaders, nurses. So when we did that, we saw a great jump in our engagement and in with the platform. So the last change we made, the most recent change we made, was our daily newsletter. Well, it was weekly before COVID. It was daily during COVID. And now we've been able to get us back to 2 days a week at least. We have that newsletter, goes to all faculty and staff. Well, previously, we'd kept it in an email format. So our leaders wanted to be able to see a little bit more content than just a headline and a subhead. So it was a very long email. Well, we changed it and put it into a newsletter template within the platform. So now it pulls content from the platform, and that had huge benefits for us. So let me tell you how we're doing. Right now, we've got a 94% registration rate, so we're thrilled with that. We've got 52% of our audience who clicks into content, 3.5 times increase in reach. So that newsletter I just told you about, we had about 800,000 impressions per month when we launched with the newsletter for our organization-wide newsletter. We went live with that. Our reach went to over 2.7 million per month. We also were able to increase our publishing by 8 times. That same newsletter, it took 4 hours a day to build it. When we moved it to the newsletter template, 30 minutes. So that editor, she was able to shift her focus to another project. I mean, it was an important project. It was related to videos and YouTube, and we needed to do a whole lot of cleanup. We just didn't have the people power to put behind it. So having a product, having a tool that we was able to improve our efficiency and our productivity and enable us to focus on other strategic efforts was a clear win for us. And then we've got the ORs. Let me tell you about the ORs. I want to dig right into that because that's exciting. I think it's exciting. So what happened? Well, the director of perioperative services came to us, and what he wanted was his SharePoint department site. He wanted that on the landing pages of our intranet. Everybody wants presence on the landing page of the intranet. But given the fact that the revenue that our operating rooms bring in, that that's critical to the success of the organization, we agreed. Yeah, let's put that on there. And he wanted to do it because he wanted to be able to communicate COVID guidelines. And he said that they were having some problems with patients showing up and not being qualified for surgeries, and he wanted to make sure everybody knew the COVID guidelines. And the goal being to not have an OR sit empty. So I could have stopped there. I could have said, okay, well, we'll meet this need of yours, check it off my list, and move on. But I wanted to be a strategic partner. I didn't want to just be an order taker. So I asked more questions. So this is what I found out. What the impact that COVID had on our surgical team. So when COVID hit, we had to start, stop, shift, pivot, everything when it came to surgeries. Many of you probably had to as well. Several reasons behind that included like preserving the protective equipment for our clinical staff. It was in high demand and short supply. So we wanted to make sure our clinicians who were caring for COVID patients had what they need to stay safe. We also wanted to be able to make sure we had that inpatient capacity, the hospital beds. So we didn't want to take it up with an elective surgical procedure and then have a COVID patient without a bed. So we wanted to make sure we had beds for COVID patients. We also wanted to promote the social distancing. You know, fewer people in the hospital would help us to prevent the spread of the infection. So some of the things they did to shift and start and stop included looking at procedures that were scheduled in our inpatient facilities to see what ones really needed to be inpatient. Could we move these to ambulatory settings instead? So it was really busy for our surgeons and our schedulers and our patients, the impact it had on them. But if you look at this right here, we had 6,500 cases, more than 6,500 cases that were impacted. So in an ambulatory setting, an operating room is about $425, $435 an hour, okay? So then you also think about how much time do you need to have in the OR with a case. Well, some might be an hour, some might be more, but we took an average about 4.5 hours. That includes pre-op and post-op time as well. So when you take 4.5 hours, $435 an hour, times 6,500 cases, that's $13 million that was out there. And we wanted to make sure we were able to get these patients back in. So when we were able to start scheduling surgeries again, we had more challenges. We needed to have operating room availability. Our surgeons didn't think we had it. So they've got blocked time where they're able to have scheduled time and they can plan ahead. But in this case, they had a backlog of patients, oftentimes 3 to 6 months long of a wait time for a patient to get in for a surgery. So they wanted additional OR time. We also still had staff deployed to other areas in the organization. We had patients that were showing up that they do screenings about 48 hours ahead of a procedure. So they do a screening for that. Everything's good. And in that 48 hours in the meantime, guidelines change, symptoms develop. For whatever other reason, a patient shows up now and they no longer can have that procedure. So those changing guidelines were an ongoing problem. So I got to thinking, like, how could we use this platform to be able to help increase OR utilization? So we set some goals around it. What we wanted to do really was increase the operating room utilization. How could we do that? We wanted to increase the awareness of the availability of OR time, and we wanted to make sure we could provide those guidelines to our faculty and staff. So how are we going to do this? So fortunately, they already had a topic, previously called a channel. I've heard the word categories used, but they already had a topic called the cutting edge. I was very proud of them. I thought that was clever. So they've got their cutting edge topic, and my client, when I shared, what if we try to do this? I have this idea. Maybe we could try to let surgeons and schedulers know when there's open OR time, maybe get it filled. And he was like, you gave me my landing page presence, give it a shot, whatever it takes. So he put me in touch with one of the administrators and a couple of lead schedulers. So they became my primary clients in trying to implement this. So they were going to post content to the landing page of open OR time, and then they were going to push it out to the specific locations. So we started this as a pilot in early March. We did it in 3 ambulatory sites and 1 inpatient facility, our community hospital. So we needed to have a surgeon list and a scheduler list for each location. So I developed those groups for them. I provided them with images so that it wasn't just always open OR time and that was the same thing every time. So I provided them with images, and I also provided them with some copies so that they could try to encourage their faculty and staff to download the mobile app. So what I want to be clear here is that I provided them with this, but this is all the OR team. I'm not implementing this. This is them. So again, what a huge win to be able to enable others to share important information and then therefore enabling us to focus on other strategic efforts as well. So what you're seeing on this screen is an example of a push notification out to somebody's mobile device. And then when they click on that push notification, this is what they would see when it opens up on their phone. Show you some other examples of what they're seeing. So this is an example of the email. So right now, the email, when it goes out, it includes the image, the headline, the subhead, and a button to read more. So for those of you who are First Up users and you're in Studio, we're right now still in Classic Studio, trying to shift to New Studio. So when we make that shift, the body of the copy will be in the email. I'm so excited about that. One less click for them. So this is what the email looks like. And then when they click read more, then they get to this. It's the open OR time. So you see it's color-coded. So if it's green, then it's open. The whole OR is open that day for the full day. Do a long procedure, short procedures. You could have the whole day. Orange means that it's assigned to another group. So like ENT, it's assigned to them. They might not have a full day scheduled, so there might be time that you could get from them. If you had, let's say you have a case you wanted to make sure you got done before you're going on vacation, reach out to ENT, see if they'll give you some time. Then you see yellow. Yellow means that there's time available, but not the full OR. So it might be just a small case here or there that you can fit in there. And then red means there's no availability at all. So you can see here in this two-week block, there's no red, there's availability. So from here, when they see the schedule, then in here there's an email that they can reach out to people to say, hey, I want time. So how has this been going? Well, let me show you first some metrics. Now, first I'm going to tell you, the very first email we sent out, a surgery was scheduled. So there, that was a win. Anything else that happened from there could only get better. So this is what our engagement rate looked like on our OR posts. So you can see, you know, there's some peaks and valleys. It varies just a little bit by location, but you can see we've got an upward trend. So that's good news. The other thing to note is I compared the OR posts to all the other content on the cutting edge topic, and the OR posts have twice as high of an engagement rate as the other content on that topic. So they are engaging. I also found out that there is an OR committee, and they had a meeting. I didn't know the committee existed. I'm wanting to get on the agenda. But they had had a meeting, and they were talking about this. And there were surgeons that were like, wait a minute. Tell me more about this, because I need to get involved. I need to get this information. So I anticipate our engagement rates are just going to continue to go up with this. So what was some initial feedback, some initial results? Someone was like, this is great. I can't wait to do this in University Hospital, our largest inpatient facility. But also when I reached out to my clients to find out from them, how are things going? Is there anything else I can do to help? They told me that we'd had an increase in podiatry cases at our sports medicine location, that a physician had started doing procedures there because of these communications. They also saw an increase in OBGYN cases at our East Hospital, our inpatient facility. So what does this actually mean to OR utilization? Well, I'll be honest. I didn't want to share this graphic with you guys when I first saw it because I wasn't very excited about it. But when I talked to my clients about it, they helped me understand it better. They told me that when we have a new site open, when their growth is going up, the other locations go down. So the fact that most of our locations stayed consistent in OR utilization while another location was peaking in growth, that was great. Now, there is a little dip here in our sports medicine facility there in July. They told me that that was a result of some turnover within our schedulers, so they were working on onboarding, and we also had vacations. So if we had the surgeon and the patient and the space, we might not have had the anesthesiologist and vice versa. But you see, they bounced right back. It was summer vacations. So I wanted to do a little bit more digging, and I wanted to reach out to our surgeons and get some feedback from them. So I asked them, before receiving these communications, did you feel like that you had access and OR availability to you? Only 61% said yes. Then I asked, since receiving these communications, do you feel there's OR time available to you? 73% said yes. So the fact that we've increased that awareness and that OR availability. Now, when I met with my client last week, he said he was so excited about this. He's a new leader. He came just earlier this year. He said that when he saw this data, he had already spoken with one of his leaders, and one of his goals was to increase that access for all surgeons with available OR time. He's like, you know, Mike knows to call Susie. And he's like, Susie, I've got some backlog of patients here. I need some extra time, and she gives it to him. Well, not everybody knows to call Susie. So we've now made it this level playing field so that they all have access to the ORs. I also asked them if, as a result of these communications, if they started doing procedures in other locations. Only four of them said yes, but still, four of them to go to other locations to be able to provide care. That worked for me. Now, I'm being truthful and honest and totally transparent. We had 90% of them say they had no idea we could do push notifications to their mobile device. So definitely on my list of things to do. I also asked, have these communications helped you to provide care to your patients in a timely manner? 39% said yes. That, to me, right there, was also a huge, huge win. And they also said they found the emails to be very helpful. I'm sure they'll find the push notifications to be helpful, too. So I also asked our schedulers for some feedback as well. And like the physicians, they had an increase in awareness of OR utilization up to 88%. 9 of their surgeons changed locations and started doing procedures other places. So 5 of those surgeons ignored my survey. That's okay. They were providing care, so I'm all good with it. They, too, are not aware of the push notifications, so we'll make sure they are. But then I asked them this. Have these communications helped you to perform your job better or made it easier? 45% said yes. I was thrilled with that. And they said somebody appreciated the push notifications. So I appreciate that person. So what do we do from here? Well, I want to engage senior leaders so that they can help talk about it in their meetings, have those face-to-face meetings, and they can reinforce how we're using the platform and how they can get access to this information. When I met with my client and I was talking about, hey, when can we launch this in the inpatient facilities, he educated me about the fact that we really want to save those OR slots that are available for the higher acuity patients, the patients, the traumas that might be coming in that we don't know about. So, but he also recommended our endoscopy suites, that we really might be able to utilize this to help increase endoscopy utilization. So I'll be reaching out to them when I get home. But when I take a step back and I look at what we've done with this program and I think about our mission to improve people's lives, I am so proud because I truly believe we have improved people's lives by being able to send communications to them about the OR schedule. We've improved our faculty, our surgeons, the schedulers making their jobs easier, and ultimately the patients getting access to timely care. That right there to me is just priceless. So with that, I thank you guys so much for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Lori?
Hi.
Hi.
The new org-wide newsletter that you talked about you launched, do you send that out via email and the app, or one or the other?
It, right now, just goes via email, and in New Studio, when we create something in New Studio, we'll be able to have it go via email, but it also will be able to get posted to a topic within the app as well. So people will be able to access it from the app, from the desktop experience, or via email. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you for your presentation and congratulations on the success you've seen.
Thank you.
I'm curious about your channel strategy, and after seeing the success with OR utilization, do you have other departments that are reaching out to say, hey, we'd like to try this too? And is that something your team is willing to support, or was this really a pilot project for the OR particularly?
So this was actually more a pilot project for them, but we have 70 topics on our platform right now. They range from corporate-wide messaging. We've got a beep, beep topic that's all about traffic and parking. We've got, people, food, they love it. Traffic and parking, they hate it. But we've got that one. And then we do also have, I really want to have more specific topics because that's where we really get to the relevant content for our faculty and staff. So I have had my outpatient New Albany location. They love it, and that topic manager is amazing to work with. So when we had another location open up in Dublin, she was already talking to him about it, so then we just created his. They're actually just about to start doing surgeries as well, so we created their groups last week. So no, we're totally open to new topics. I do quarterly reports for them, so I send them metrics. I send them an Excel file of all of their content so they can see what people are liking and clicking on and sharing. To really try to help engage them in posting more content like that their team likes. But no, we're totally open to it. We do ask that they have at least 2 to 3 posts per week, and if they're not doing that, then I have a conversation with them that we're going to make their topic inactive and that when they find the time to be able to post regular content, then we can bring it back for them.
Thank you. I'm Barb Barkley with Goodyear. I just have a question around your leadership engagement. It sounds like this was really tied to a business need that you helped solve. Did that help foster more interest from other leaders? And I guess just in terms of your launch, obviously launching during COVID, everyone probably had a lot of interest in the mobile app, but what kind of leadership support have you seen?
Yeah. So our leaders have been great. They've definitely, they're supportive. Are they on it as much as they should be? Not yet. We tried an initiative with the leaders in January that we kicked off, and we said that Hub was as easy as 1, 2, 3. First up idea, so I cannot take that. Thank you, my first up team. So Hub's as easy as 1, 2, 3, one post, two comments, and 3 likes a week. So we had a handful of our leaders that were engaged and participating in that. But then we realized that they really weren't the leaders that were mostly aligned with the frontline staff. So we're getting ready to circle back with a broader group of leaders to engage them. I know Aaron, who does our nursing communications, we have 2 new chief nursing officers, and we've met with both of them. They're both very excited about doing videos and content and encouraging their team to go to the platform to see more and learn from them there.
Time for about 1 or 2 more questions.
Oh, there's one in the back.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Abby Davis with Edward Jones. Thank you so much for this. I just wanted to say your presentation was so unique from some of the other ones that I've seen because it's making me think differently about how we can use the platform to solve a business problem. I don't have a genius idea yet for Edward Jones, but I think it's brilliant that you helped do that, and it also shows ROI for the platform. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Well, and to go back to, and I just thought of it, and then I lost it again, senior leadership and rolling out other projects like this. So after I get back, my client and I are going to get together with senior leadership to share with them the success of this program and see if they can have other ideas, or we can just brainstorm if there are other ways that we can utilize this. But we haven't really shared this broadly internally yet. So you guys get to be the first to see it.
One more burning question. Right. Thank you, Lori, very much.
Thank you. Oh, I got something. Thank you. It's not cookies. It's not something under a raffle that you get from my Big Lots friends, but I do have tech stickers that I brought. So if anybody wants any Buckeye tech stickers, feel free. So thank you again.